Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
I don't know what's going to happen this Sunday, today, right now, but I've looked around. I've seen some people I haven't seen in a bit, seen some people I'm just glad to see, have some folks visiting from afar. Not a fire, but afar. Shane's not even in here, but the whole rest of his family is here. So many people here related to Shane Finders. This is wild. But I just take all this as God's going to do something. Can I tell you, God's been doing cool things, and God's going to keep doing good things. Y'all believe that? Now, I'm not going to dance with all my might right now, but maybe afterwards, after we see what God does in this service, maybe we'll all be a little inspired to shake it. You know what I'm saying? And just get down a little bit in the Lord. I see people here who I haven't seen and I know and I love, but you know what? We're also reminded of some people who we miss. And all of us have folks that we miss. And y'all, don't let it make you sad. You just remember where they are. Remember what they're experiencing. And I can tell you this, when one sinner comes to repentance in the Lord, they dance up there too. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. We thank you for this time. We're ready. We're ready to see you move and do things that only you can do, that are explained only by the Spirit of God moving. So, Father, move in us. We're yours. Save us. Heal us. Fill us. We're yours. Help us to know that. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
this morning, we prayed. There's a group of folks who met here at 7 o'clock to pray and just to get this service and get what God was going to do. Just say, Lord, have your way. Have your way in this service. And we went through a little time of adoring God and just telling Him He was awesome, lining ourselves up with who God is. We went through a time of confessing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and confessing that He's the only one who can clean us of our sins and that we need Him to do that. We went through a time of thanksgiving and just saying, thank you, Lord, for all that you do. And we went through that so we could ask one request. We got time to the supplication. We asked for one thing, and we sang that song, Open the Eyes of Our Heart, to remind us of that request, and it was, Lord, that we would see you move today here. And we sang that song, and it was sweet. And I just wanted you to know that you've been prayed for, and that what God is doing, we've said we've invited Him to move and move in this service, so you'd be listening to what God would have say to you. Listen to what God would say. That's it, right? That's English. Okay. All right. Y'all do that.
You can stand up or sit down. That's your choice. Amen. We got freedom. Man, if God starts laying it on you, stand up or put your hands up or sing out. Don't be afraid. All right? All right.
Darkness.
All right. Awesome stuff, man. I heard, did y'all hear the choir? Because you know they're the leaders, but who's the choir? Yeah, we don't always hear that choir, but I heard that choir singing how great. Oh, that was great. It's our God's worthy of our praise. 90s class, are you ready? Ready, break. Go, 90s class, go. While 90s class is going, let me just take a point of opportunity to say thank y'all for praying for my family and for my wife, who is here today in the spit zone. And so she's gonna get the sermon in full course right here, but she's up front and ready to go. And anyways, I'm just thank y'all for food, thank y'all for prayers, thank y'all for Karen, and just all those things that you've done. We appreciate all of it. It's been delicious. It's been all good. All right, all good. So, but keep praying. She still has some healing to go, but she's getting back. Did you drive or did you let Josh drive? She let Josh drive, which means pray for her. We got somebody walking in right now who doesn't want to be, you know, put out too much attention, but we've been praying for Mr. Philip Eads. And this time last week was a different kind of feeling on Sunday than this time this week, wasn't it? And we're glad that you're here, brother. We're glad that you make it through. So you and Stephanie, we're so glad that you all are here. Amen. For our friends and family and everybody, we are in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're preaching through that book. That book is a corrective book. It's God inspired it through the Apostle Paul to give correction to a church that had gotten off track. And we're going to be in chapter 4, but I'm going to try to make sure that this doesn't sound too corrective. I have my big stick back here, but I'm not going to use it today. I had to use it last week, but this is a different sermon. Okay, but we're in chapter 4, and for y'all who've been here, there's been one major issue in the church of Corinth that the Holy Spirit is railing against, and it's the issue of disunity, divisions, grumbling, griping, those things that caught people saying, I want to follow this person and not that person, or I like this way or not that way, and he's railing against it in these first three chapters. And we're in chapter 4 now, and what he's going to do is show us the proper way to look at church leaders. He's going to show us the proper way. So he put the correction out there, and we'll find that in 1 Corinthians. He'll make the correction, says, you all got carried away looking at distinctions of, in our time, we would say of denominations or leaders or this church or this music or that music. Y'all have got so caught up in your preferences that you've allowed it to divide the church. He says, and that's no good. Now he's going to put it in perspective and say, this is how you should view church leaders. This is how you should view some of the things you have preferences over. But he's really going to key in on the church leaders, because that was their problem. Some said, I'm of Apollos, or some said, I'm like this and that. And he had to bring them back in. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, this is what the Word of God says. I'm going to read the whole chapter, so hang in there. Hang in there better than my microphone. I'm going to have to put it up here, but that makes me sound like I'm in a bucket. That's all right. I'll be in the bucket. Here we go. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from one another? What do you have
that you did not receive. Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we may also reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to die. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, and we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed, beaten, and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but as beloved children, I warn you. For though you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. And I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Let's pray. Father God, we've heard your word. Now I pray that you would take and apply it to our heart. Show it what it means to be a servant of God. I know that you're calling people in this room now. Some you're calling to be saved. Some you're calling to that sweet born-again time, that they might really know that they're children of God. Some you're calling to that place of being justified by grace. But Father, you're also calling those who have been saved, born again, and justified by grace. And you're calling them to stand in the name of Jesus. You're calling them to serve in the name of Jesus, to go, to walk, to talk, to do all that you've called us to do in the name of Jesus. And I pray this morning that we would hear your voice, that we would sense the moving of your Spirit, and we would go where you would have us to go. Ultimately, Father, may it be said in Christ Community Church by everyone that we are the servants of Christ. May that be our motto for those who have come to know you, that we are servants of Christ. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot in this chapter, and I'm not going to try to cover it all. I'm going to hit some highlights, so there's going to be some things that you'll say, he didn't preach that part, and that was my favorite part. Well, I invite you to take your favorite part and read it at home over and over and over, and even tattoo it on yourself if you'd like. I'm just saying, if you already got a tattoo. But anyways, that's just part of it, all right? And so take those parts that you love and rehearse them at home. I got this much time, and I'm going to cover some of these highlights. And what I want us to think about is what it means to be a servant of God. Because the church in Corinth got all away from that. And they lifted these people up on pedestals. Sort of like what we do with somebody who writes a book or makes a CD or speaks at a conference. We go, well, I follow this person and I follow that person. That's great. Praise God for what he does through their life. But we need to rightly understand what it means to be a servant of God. Because if you're saved, you're being called to be a servant of God. And we need to know what it looks like on a more regular basis. So let's start. In the first five verses, we get some kind of understanding about what a servant of God is and is not. Okay? And it's got to start there, right? It's got to start with understanding. Who is a servant of God and who are they and who are they not? I'll give you two knots. One on your head and one... No, I'm just kidding. Couldn't help it. I was about to give you a knot on your brain. The first knot is that we are not the owners. I don't care if you're the teetotaling highest top tither in the world, and I couldn't think of any other T words to use. You don't own this church. I don't care if you're the senior pastor, an associate pastor, if you're a friend or a wife or kids of the pastor. It don't matter who you're related to, but you don't own this church. Ain't nobody owns this church. The Lord Jesus Christ bought this church with His blood, and He's the head of it. No one here is an owner. No one here should ever be comfortable cultivating a boss mentality of telling other people what they ought to do and how they ought to. It's like you need to put your finger in your pocket and talk with loving correction, not as an owner, but as a fellow servant with every other saved person in the place. Does that make sense? We're not owners. We don't get to, some of y'all might be cold. If you owned it, you could change that air conditioner, but you're not, so don't. No, I'm just kidding. We want to accommodate, we want to do it, but we need to remember we're not the owners, we're the servants. We're the stewards. Those two words that he uses right there, those are words that say, it's not mine, I've just been in charge of taking care of it and serving it. I'm a foot washer. I'm a dishwasher. I'm a floor cleaner. I'm a toilet scrubber. I'm a garbage in the parking lot picker-upper. I'm a servant. And we're given gifts and we're given time and talent and ability. Not to brag or to boast, we'll get there in a minute, but to what? To what? I know it's early in the sermon, but I thought you might get that one, right? We've been given these things to... Starts with S, rhymes with curve. Thank you. That's why. It's not for any other reason. It's not to make much of us. It's to serve. Who are we serving, by the way? If we're not the owners, and I've said it already, right? Who are we serving? We serve God first, right? But you know, we're also serving one another. But it's God first. Just like the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment tells us to love. Who does it say we ought to love first? God first. That's right. Ding, Miss Linda, I'm sorry. That's all right. Oops. So we love God first. Love the Lord. The first and great commandment is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when it's the same with serving. In the church, first and foremost, serve the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then secondly, we serve each other. What a great privilege that God has set us up to serve each other. Not boss or rule each other, but to serve. Other thing you need to understand about servants of God is that they're not perfect. They're not perfect. Right? We sometimes, I bet you in this room right now, somebody is actively holding the excuse that they can't serve God because they got too many issues in their life. I can tell you that didn't come from the Scripture, it didn't come from the Holy Spirit, that's your pride. And your pride needs to get knocked in the head. And you need to say, I'm going to serve God because it's more important to serve God instead of making an idol out of my perceived goodness or righteousness and saying, not until it gets really pretty and polished will I ever put myself out there to serve. You need to serve. Matter of fact, you won't ever, I don't believe, ever grow to the spiritual place God would have you grow without serving. It's just like getting saved. Scary to me how sometimes people think, I got to be good enough to get saved. Scary when I hear people talking about, well, you need to be of this kind of character that you would get God's attention, that He would save you. Well, I can tell you what kind of character you need to be like, and don't worry, you ain't got to try to earn it because you already got it. You need to be a sinner, bound to hell, not worth anything. Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. And I'm going to tell y'all, you got it. You already got it. No striving necessary. You get A's in sin. All right? You got a 4.0 sinner GPA. All right? You got it. You hit it out of the park. Grand slam. Boop. And He came to save you. Okay? But you know what? He wants to use you once you're saved. You know what you got to do that? Just be available. I heard a guy preach on this at an FCA banquet, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It was Bobby Bowden from Florida State, most winningest coach in college football history. And he spoke, and you probably talk about somebody who I thought was going to talk about being, you've got to be all this. He said, there ain't no way you can be saved on your own because you're all sinners and you need God's grace. And I was like, woo-hoo, get him, coach. And then he said, God's not after your ability. This is a college football coach. He knows how to judge ability. He said, God's not after your ability. He's after your availability. And when you are available to God, He will equip you to serve. And if you're not available to God, I don't think you'll ever be equipped to serve. Because you keep waiting and trying to clean up and build up and do something that you can't do on your own. You just need to say, Lord, let me serve. Lord, I want to serve. And He'll bring you right up to it. I remember one of my first times serving. I was serving in a puppet ministry, and I smoked. And so here I am. I was newly saved. I didn't grow up in church. I was still cussing, smoking, and doing a lot of weird things because I'm weird. But God was using my service to Him to grow me. So I was in Michigan where I lived, and it was cold, and I was smoking, but I had the window cracked, you know, so I could flick the hots out there, and so I didn't just permeate myself with smoke and all that stuff. And I'm sitting at a red light, and I'm smoking, and I'm doing my thing, and I look over next to me, and staring right at me is one of the deacons from our church that I work in the puppet ministry with. His name was Jackson, and Jackson looked over and goes, hey, and I went, hey, and I'm not paying attention, but I stuck my finger between the hot of the cigarette and the door frame, and I'm going, hey, and then I go, oh, and I drop the cigarette, and it goes bouncing around, and he's just laughing, he's just dying laughing, he thinks this is great, and I'm thinking, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hi, you know, now I'm smoking, now I'm cussing, and now, you know, he got all these things going on, and yet, if I hadn't been serving the Lord, that wouldn't have been such an awkward moment. If I hadn't been in service, it wouldn't have seemed so inconsistent. And who knows if I would ever allow God to whip that issue in my life. Hadn't I been serving, hadn't I had the expectation of doing these things. It's part of what God, the pressure of service is part of what God uses to handle our imperfections. Don't you wait to get unperfect before you serve God, because you won't ever serve God. Don't you wait to get worthy of being saved before you get saved, because you will never get saved if you wait until you earn it. Let God give it to you. That's exactly what He's saying here. Let me give it to you. I've done it. I've settled it. We're not perfect, but God is perfect. Amen? We're not perfect, but God is. And it's about recognizing God as our Lord and Savior. And look at here. He says, and I love this. I love this boldness. When you're in small group tonight, this will be part of what we're talking about. It says, for I know of nothing. He says, I don't care if you all judge me. I don't care if a human court judges me. I don't even judge me. I don't know of anything wrong with myself, he says. But that's not what makes me right with God. It's God who makes me right with God. He says here in verse 4, I know nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this. In other words, it's not just the fact that I'm ignorant of all my sin. That's not what makes me right. And he says afterwards, it's the Lord who judges me. And can I tell you, it's also the Lord who justifies me. I'm standing here today saved, not because of what I've done or what I'm going to do someday or the fact that I think I'm okay. I'm justified because Jesus Christ died for my sins, like we just sang. He bled for me. He freely bled for me. He's the one who gave it all to me. That's why I can be so sure about being justified before God, because it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Had nothing to do with me. I was just the target of the love of God that has made me right with Him. He justifies. He judges. And I'm going to tell you something, church. If we would ever get to this point, what a yoo-hoo, woo-hoo, fun time we would have in the Lord. Because we wouldn't be waiting around thinking, are they looking at me? Are they judging me? Are they talking about me? Do they think I'm not good enough? I don't know what these poses are about, but I'm just going to do them. We start wanting to be somebody that everybody likes, and we forget that we're somebody that God loves. And then we start building ourselves up with the hopes of somebody someday giving us the attaboy or attagirl and telling us we're good and we're making it, instead of saying, the Lord says, I've loved you and you've made it, and it's just a matter of time before you're with me forever, sister. You're with me forever, honey. You're with me forever. That's what God is saying to us, but we're still trying to earn everybody else's respect. I love what Paul said. I don't care if you judge me good, bad, or ugly. I've been saved by the grace of God and I'm going to heaven. You can take your judgment away. Because God took my sin away. He did it. He judges me righteous. Strong term in the Bible, isn't it? Righteous. He judges me righteous. He judges me holy. You want to know why? Because He gave it to me. He gave it to me. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. He took my sin and gave me His righteousness. We need to understand that about the servants of God. We're not owners, we're not perfect, and Jesus is the one we point to as our Savior and our Lord. Amen? All right. Now, we need to learn from the servants of God. Servants of God are people who can teach us some things. We all need to have, and can I tell you something? This is where a lot of people get that awkward feeling. What can I teach somebody? And the next point is going to be following the servants of God, and people get ookiness about saying, I don't want nobody following me or imitating me or trying to see what Christianity is about by following me. But can I tell you, all those insecurities are inappropriate, and they're so backwards, because here's the bottom line. You are teaching someone right now and have been teaching someone your whole life, because they've been watching you. They've been watching what kind of person you are, what kind of things you say, and how you live. There are people following you right now. So it's no excuse to say, I'm not worthy to lead anybody and have anybody follow me. Well, look behind you, honey. I bet you there's somebody following you already. And if you're just going to deny who you are, that means you're probably walking in the wrong direction, but they're still following. But if you would stop and say, God has made me to be a servant of God, and I'm going to embrace that, maybe you can teach and lead in the right way. Wouldn't that be something? Church, that's where we got to get to. Throw the condemnation behind us. Embrace what God's given us through salvation and say, yes, here's three things we need to learn as servants of God and from servants of God. One, we need to learn the beauty of the Bible. And I had a hard time. That's exactly what my heart said. Write down, learn the beauty of the Bible. In verse 6, it says, you ought to learn from us not to think beyond what is written. And can I tell you something, church? We would do so much better by embracing the revelation that God's given us through the Bible and stop living by worldly standards and selfish standards and all these other things. We would do so much better, church, if we would embrace what the Word of God says about the born-again believer and stop believing all the other things that people say about us. We would do so good at believing what the Bible says about who God is instead of listening to what everybody else thinks about who God is. It'd be so good for us to learn the beautiful sufficiency of the Word of God, to where we don't try to explain it or edit it or figure out how we're going to make it make sense to the world, but we will learn and say, and I don't want to use this, and that preacher, I don't even know all of it, but you know, the dude, you know how Joel gets up and he'll hold up and he says, this is the Bible, it's the Word of God, it is what I say, what it says I am, I do what it, I forget all of it. You know, he has a preamble, you got what I'm saying. Ain't nothing wrong with that preamble he's got. And we'd all be better off if we listened to that and just said, you know what? I'm not going to think beyond what's written. I'm not going to judge myself by human worldly standards. I'm not going to condemn myself. I'm not going to do these things that so often falls onto us when we're living by the world standard. I'm going to receive what God says, and I'm going to let that be the period at the end of the paragraph, at the end of the page, and be done. We'd do a lot better off that way. You just embrace what it is the Bible says. He says, learn from us. Don't think beyond what is written. And some people say, that book is old. It's older than you know. it's older than you think. Because these words are living and true. This was the truth before it was written. It's God's mind about what He wants us to know as a church and as His creation. And it's old. It's His mind. How old is God? You want to know how sufficient and beautiful this Word is? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there's nothing that was made in this entire world that wasn't made through the Word of God. And we know that that Word became flesh. And He dwelt among us, that we might behold His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son. Y'all see who's full of grace and truth? Don't go beyond what's written. Stick to the beauty of God's Word. You are not going to know it all. You're not going to plumb the depths of this Word and go, well, it's just one book, maybe I'll get bored. You won't. Just keep digging. It gets deeper. You don't know where the bottom is. You don't know where the sides and the top are. It's a sufficient Word. We need to learn that as servants of God. We need to learn the unity of the body. In verse 7, I'm sorry. It's in verse 6 and 7. He says, I've applied these things to myself and to Apollos for your sake. First, that you don't think beyond what is written. And then, that no one may be puffed up on one behalf against another. When we learn as servants of God, and it's kind of what I started off with, none of us is an owner. We're all servants. And when we cultivate that servant mindset, then we start thinking of how we can work together, how we can do this together. We start thinking not about our problems, but how to work through and how to continue to work through. In the church, we shouldn't have the problem of one person thinking they're better than the other, because we've all received grace, unmerited favor from God. In the church, we should never have a class system or a caste system of the haves and the have-nots, the ins and the outs. We shouldn't have the cliques. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the church in our time has settled all those problems? Aren't you glad that no matter what church you walk into, this great nation, you'll find it free and open, without cliques and without a superiority complex and without the haves and the have-nots? Aren't you glad that that's just the way it is in the church of God today in America? Amen? No, we're saying that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, guess what? Who shows that? Those who have cultivated that sense of, I'm a servant of God. Those are the ones who strive toward unity with one another, because many hands make for lighter lifting. You understand? When we work together, when the whole body is together, it's healthy, it's good, it's efficient. We ought to learn that as servants of God and learn it from the servants of God. Next, we ought to learn the fullness of the blessing. I can't fully comprehend this. I mean, this is one of those things, when you say, do you understand everything in the Bible? I really try, but there's things that are beyond my grasp. Doesn't mean they're not true. You know how arrogant people can be? Sometimes they believe if they can't understand it, they don't think it's true. Well, I can tell you, as dumb as I am, if I held that mentality, I would never cross a bridge. Because I'm not exactly sure why it don't fall down. Now, some people know, and I'd never get on an airplane. Cade and I are about to get on an airplane in a couple weeks. Why can you pile all those people on a heavy old thing and light fire behind it and shoot it off into the sky? Which, that's not the scariest part. How do you get it to fall down from the sky, but not really fall down from the sky, right where you want it to? I don't understand. People say that's aerodynamics. And I'm saying, yeah, and I'm a big dummy and I can't spell that even. There's things in the Bible you're not going to understand. Don't write them off as not true. Ask God to broaden your mind. Ask God to grow you until you understand it. Here's one of them. You are already full. You are already rich. Let me tell you what I do understand about that statement. I understand that when God gave us Christ, He gave us the best and He gave us all. There ain't nothing more that we got to wait for. He's given us everything. One of the things that the Spirit of God does in ministry in our life. Listen to this in chapter 2, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. One of the things we need to learn from the servants of God is how to live in the fullness of that blessing. How to live securely and boldly, knowing that if there's anything I need, God will give it to me because He's already given me Christ. He's given me the best. And so I trust Him with everything else. We need to know that. I love this. He says, you're already full. You're already rich. You have reigned as kings. You're wise. You have all this going. Live it. Live in it. Learn it. There's people who I know have become so content in God that you can't shake them. You can't shake them with death. You can't shake them with bills. You can't shake them with betrayals. You can't shake them because they realize what they've received from God. And I'm going to tell you, when I say I don't understand this, it's because I know sometimes I still struggle. Sometimes when I see a lack, I struggle whether or not knowing I'm full. Sometimes when I know that I've done something stupid, I wonder if I have the wisdom that God's given me. Sometimes I wonder these things and I get shook. But I'll tell you, I believe there's going to be a time, even in my life, where I walk, not in arrogance, but in confidence that God has done it all and it's settled. That's what I hope for all of us as servants of God. In the last section, we talk about following the servants of God. And I want you to hear some just real practical things. This is a real practical portion. Matter of fact, it's so practical, some of it's hard to preach because Paul is speaking specifically to the Corinthians, talking about a visit that he's going to make to them, talking about the attitude that do they want him to come with the big stick and whoop on them, or do they want him to come in love and gentleness? You know, and so some of it we can't even talk about because it's so specific to them. But here's some practical things we need to learn when it comes to being servants, the servants that we're following and we're learning from, and being the servant of God who are walking hand in hand, arm in arm with our brothers and sisters who are also servants. Here's some things, right? Follow like family. Follow like family. what I love about this is follow like real family. You know, the Bible doesn't ever baloney us about things. That's one of the reasons why we're going through this church, this book of 1 Corinthians. Because whenever somebody thinks of the church, they think of this idealized church that doesn't actually exist. I have people that say, well, the church shouldn't be like, the church shouldn't do that, the church shouldn't do that. It's like, the church, very much, is made of sinful people who've been saved but not yet perfected. And you're going to find things in the church that shouldn't be from daylight to dark. But you know what? That's still the bride of Christ according to the Word of God. It hasn't changed just because your values don't think that the church should be like that. Another thing we hedge a lot about is about family. I've heard somebody say the church should be like a family. And I'm going to say, amen, hallelujah, it is. And you know what? Anybody here live in a family that don't have divorce, raise your hand. Somebody in your family, put your hand back down. Make me hit you or something. Someone, an aunt, uncle, cousin, somewhere where divorce has hit your family. Rare. Anybody not been hit by addiction? In your family? Anybody just say, no, addiction's never come to anybody in our family. We just have been blessed. Maybe there is, but you know what? It's not the usual case, is it? How about death and sickness? Anybody have that in their family? How about disappointment? How about abuse? Keith just raised both hands. I wasn't sure if that was disappointment or abuse. You know what? Families are real. Real. Anybody here have an argument-free family? You never had an argument with your family? I see people go, shh, don't say nothing about that. Anybody have an argument this morning with your family? I'm like, why do we try to pretend like God's wanting to save something that don't need to be saved? It's a family. It's a perfect family that never has any bumps, bruises, or anything wrong. That's the family. And Jesus is our Savior. According to you, you don't need a Savior because your family's already perfect and your church is already perfect. But when He says, like a family, Just remember, that doesn't mean perfect. That doesn't always mean loving and kind and all the things it should be. It can be those things, but it's not always those things, is it, in real life? When you follow like family, respect and love. Respect and love enough to where when you do get mad, you don't quit. I've said this a lot, but it always sticks in my head. If you get mad at your family, let's say you get mad at your Uncle Harry. And my Uncle Harry one day is going to hear these things and wonder what I got against him. And I don't. I have nothing against, I have an Uncle Harry. I have nothing against you. But so let's say I'm mad at my Uncle Harry. And I know he's going to be at the Christmas party, my family Christmas party. And so I decide since I'm mad at him because he didn't do what I wanted him to do, I'm going to go to somebody. I'm just not going to go to Christmas at my family. But since I bought gifts and I've made some food, you know, I want to go somewhere. So I just decide instead of traveling all the way up to Michigan, I'm just going to go down a couple houses from my house and just knock on the door on December 25th. And they answer the door. I'm saying, Merry Christmas. How are you all doing? They say, we're fine. What's going on? Well, I'm mad at my family, so I decided I'm going to come to your family for Christmas. How about that? Now listen, we got presents with us. We got different names on the tag, but don't let that bother you. The gifts are still good. I reckon you got something for us too, hon. They'd be going, hey man, we brought some punch and things. We're coming in. Isn't that dumb? But then why is it in the church? When we have a problem, we think that somehow that's the worst possible sky is falling, blasphemy, crazy, nuclear thing going on in the world. There's a problem in the church! Somebody's not doing something! Whoa, 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 whoa. That whoa was for Billy. He didn't even wake up. Do you see that? He still stayed out. There you are. I see them eyes. I see them eyes. I got you right there. Hey, I used to fall asleep in church, and somebody told my pastor on me. They said, hey, Goldwater sleeps in church. And he looked at me, he said, at 11 o'clock Sunday morning, I wouldn't have Goldwater sleeping anywhere else. I thought that was pretty stout advice. So, follow like family. Also, follow by promoting the gospel. You might say, okay, I'm going to follow like family, but what are we doing? Paul here says, I've begotten you to the gospel. I've begotten you through the gospel. What are we supposed to be doing? When you follow, and as we're going, we need to be taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with us, promoting it, preaching it, teaching it, living it, sharing it. And can I tell you, I'm so proud of our church. I hope it's not bad pride. I hope it's that good pride like you have for your son when he does good in sports or something like that, and you start building up this pride. And not a bad pride, but I know that yesterday that part of the church family was in a place and got to see somebody come to know the Lord because they shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to plant seeds and witnesses. I know that another person at her workplace got to share the gospel with people who never have heard about the gospel of Jesus and didn't even know much about God. They're foreign. They're not from this place. And yet she was able to talk to them and then share the gospel with them. I know that we had a group, and that we claim the group anyways. I claim them. They're not all from here, but there's enough of them from here that we claim that they went out and for a fundraiser helped by singing gospel music and different things and got the message out through song and through worship. I know that there was a family from our church this morning that was preaching a righteousness that comes from God, not a righteousness that we find in our own selves at a church down in Winona this morning. I know for the last months there's been people who have opened their homes and spent their time to facilitate small groups so that we would have a better understanding of who God is and what He's giving us in the message. I know that tonight there's going to be a group of people who go to another church over here. It don't matter where it is. We're going to another church to share what God did through us in our Beautiful Feet mission trip and testify about who God is. God's using us, and He's using us in a way of sharing the gospel. And that's all stuff that just happened like in this weekend. I'm not even talking about what's been going on and what will go on and on. I'm proud of what God's doing here. Don't ever forget that being a servant of God, we get the privilege of sharing the gospel with people. And who knows what He does? He saves people through the gospel. We follow the pattern of mature servants. Paul says, unashamedly, with no condition, I urge you, imitate me. Oh, scariest thing, I think, for me as a preacher would be to stand up here and to say, I urge you to imitate me. And because all of a sudden I start thinking about things. I start thinking about, Johnny challenged us in our parenting. You know, you think about in marriage. You think about in temperament. You think about in finances. You think about how you keep your home. And you think about all these things. Immediately, I start thinking about all these things. And all of a sudden, I start feeling impending doom. And I start feeling condemnation. And I start feeling like a failure. And I start feeling like, what in the world? How can I stand up here in good conscience knowing that I don't get A's in all these different categories? And then God brings me back to the fact of this. Don't think beyond what is written. And I can tell you this beyond a shadow of a doubt. I've been saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ and His gospel. I've been called into His ministry, a call which I've heeded, a call that I try to serve out to the best of my ability. And I can tell you this, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am a child of God, heaven bound, with a joy in my heart from the Holy Spirit. And it's on that point that I will say, imitate me. Come on. The water is fine. It is good to be saved and to be happy. It is good to walk with the Lord. It is good to know that you are His. All those other things we can work on, and God worked on me, and God sustains me, and God grows me. But if I use those standards through which to judge me, I'm going to end up being condemned, and I'm going to guess a lot of y'all would be too. But I can tell you this, look at yourself through the eyes of Christ, and then say to anybody else you know, come on, follow me. That's all right. That's the way that we do it. But lastly, we look to follow and to lead in the power of God. We're not looking for our collective power. I know it makes sense to say if we got our collective power, if we got our collective finances, if we got our collective prayer, if we got all us grunting for Jesus in the same direction, it'd be all good. And it would be. It's good to have unity in the church. It's good to give. It's good to serve together. But y'all, it ain't about us and our power. We need to be those who seek after the power that comes from God. If we talk people into salvation, somebody can talk them out. But if God gives it to them, they're in. If God makes you free, if the Son makes you free, do you know what the rest of that verse says from John chapter 8 and verse 32? If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Do you get what I'm saying? Who can make somebody free? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. We are to be those who cultivate the power of God. Not our best, not all that stuff. Ain't nothing wrong with all that stuff, but at that, if that was the case, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus would have said this, go out and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. But he didn't say that. You know what he said? When the Spirit comes upon you, with power, then go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. Wait for the power that comes from God. Wait for that power. Christians, that power has come. God's power is available. We're not waiting. We're just needing to walk in it. He says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. This work that we do for God is not a human work. No human will get glory. No human will get credit. No one's going to be, there's not going to be a big line in heaven saying, atta boy and atta girl to you or me or anybody else. It's all going to be all praise to Jesus. Even those who receive crowns, like we talked about last week, are going to cast their crowns before the one who saved them and empowered them and equipped them and called them. All glory to God. We're servants. He's the owner. We are servants. I want you to look at this last part. And it's just a challenge, and this is the point of invitation. It says, becoming a servant of God. And I've told you this, and I want to keep it straight as we go through the book of 1 Corinthians so nobody gets religious. We don't want nobody getting religious on us. We want to stay in this relationship. The first thing God wants from everybody is to be saved. That's the first thing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says, this is a trustworthy saying, fully of all acceptance, that God desires all men to be saved. and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so that's number one. But I'm going to tell you, number two is that He wants for us our growth, our sanctification is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification, which means your spiritual growth. And one of the things you've been saved for is to serve. You've been saved to serve. So I want you to get that point in your brain. I remember a guy saying, I want that to stick in your brain like a sharp piece of glass. Isn't that a little gruesome? But it sticks, doesn't it? You're saved to serve. And the other thing I want to say is something that LG has been saying for years, decades. You've been saved, and God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for your life. Not just the life next to you, not the perfect life that you dream about living someday. Your life, where you are right now, God has something for you. Now that's the invitation. If you need to get saved, you might say, John, it wasn't evangelistic. Well, it'll become that right now. Jesus Christ died for you, and you will burn hell up without Him, because that's where you're heading without Him. And if you need to get saved, you need to put your hands in the air and say, Lord, save me, because I don't want to go to that place when You've made heaven available. Please don't let me take the free ride to hell when You've paid the full passage to heaven and I just need to take the ticket. Don't do it. It's God who justifies man. And He makes it possible through Jesus Christ. Don't go on without Him. If you've been saved, you need to find a place to serve. You're going to like it. All right? It's going to be good for you. It's going to be good to you. You're going to like it. Doesn't mean it's easy, but how many things that are really good are real easy? Come on now. Like even soft serve ice cream. I know some of y'all like it, but I like the stuff you got to dig for. You know, the homemade, you get the baller out and scoop it. The fudge that's not in a little pump bottle, but you got to heat it and scoop because it's thick. Now I'm thinking about dessert, but y'all get what I'm saying. Even dessert's better when you got to work a little bit for it that way. It's not easy. It's not easy is what I'm saying. Serving God isn't easy. It's just good. It's just good. If you have neglected your service to God, don't spend a second being shamed and guilt about it. That does no good. Simply go, God, I'm ready to serve. Right now. He'll put you on the clock, give you a hard hat, and tell you where to go. Okay? That's how He works. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. And I pray that You would help us to recognize that we're servants of God. Not... Not by our own goodness or qualifications or character traits. All those things are great, but it's really that You've made us to be Your servants. You've made us that way through buying our life, our soul through salvation. You've made us that way through the equipping of Your Word, the equipping of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual growth, and You've made us to serve You. Lord, help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. During this song is your time. If you want to respond to God, you respond to Him. If you want to come up here and respond to Him and kneel at one of these places, you do it. If you want to respond right where you are, you do it. But if you think you're safe by not responding to God when He's done something in your life or you heard something today, think again. You need to respond when you hear God talk. One way or the other. So you think about it. All right? And now's your time.
We're going to have a time of offering, and I'm going to ask the ushers if they've come forward. Remember, the invitation of God's never over, so if he started something in you, just watch. He'll continue doing it, and just respond to him when you can. I want everybody to take your right hand and put it up like this. Everybody. If you got a right hand. If you don't, I apologize. And I want you to do this. Now, keep doing it. Keep doing it. This Sunday on the church calendar, Glenn. Come on, man. You can do it. Put it up there. Put your hand in the air like you just don't care. You know, look, this is Palm Sunday on the church calendar, the Sunday that Jesus entered Jerusalem, and they waved palms. And so if anybody says, "Will you go to church? Did y'all wave palms?" Say, "Yes, we did." All right. You can put them out. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And I pray, Lord, as we take the offering, just that you'd be pleased. Thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you in tangible ways like giving. And we thank you and see you as the source of everything we have anyway. There ain't no sense in us boasting or holding back because you're the one. And so we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to end the service a little different. I'm going to ask those who joined the church most recently to come forward on the hot step. Come on. That's you, Miss Tammy. I'm seeing you. Yep. Come on up. Come on up. I want to remind you of all the good things going on, and what we're going to do is give, these are some of, we don't have all of, but some of the folks who felt like God was leading them to join with Christ Community Church, and they took our membership class last Sunday, and they all passed, which is good. Yeah, we didn't have any. No summer school needed or anything like that. It was all good. And I just want them to introduce themselves. Oh, and I think this is maybe out. No, it's on. So I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves so you can see their face, hear their name, and then I'm going to pray and close us and hug them. All of you, hug them. No, you don't have to hug them, but it'd be good if you did, okay? So I'm just going to have them pass the mic and just say hi, and their name is?
Hi, I'm Paula Pruitt. I'm Rebecca Self.
Hi, I'm Tom Beck.
Jessica Fly, and y'all don't have to hug me.
You can. Like,
Tammy Griffin.
Amanda Hathcock.
Woo, let's give them a hand. Let me pray for us. Hey, there's a ton of good stuff going on. Be involved in it. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. I know that we celebrate Christmas as our culture being the big thing, but when you read the Gospels, the birth story is not the subject of all the writing. It's what happened during this time of year. It's the death, the burial, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? That's the real deal, the coming of the Spirit and His return. That's the Gospel. That's what we want to celebrate. You come and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus next Sunday and bring. Let's pack it out, you know, because everybody ought to be, all around the world, they're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ next Sunday, and we just get to be a part of that global choir that's going to lift up praise to God, amen? All right. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for leading people to join with Christ Community Church. We're proud of them. And Father, help us to let them know that they're welcome. I thank you for them. I've already given out some responsibilities, handing out things, doing things, even this morning for some of these folks. And so, Lord, just thank you. And we give you all the praise, and we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I love you all, and thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Break. Oh, look, they're all breaking this way. You got to find them. There goes John.
Hey, just if you're, I know you're still listening. There's a sunrise service out at the lake this Sunday coming up at 6:00.